Good evening. I'd like to call to order the January 25th, 2021 Milford School District Board Meeting. Delaware Governor John Carney issued a proclamation on March 13th, 2020, and subsequent proclamations addressing school boards authorizing public bodies to meet electronically due to public health threat caused by COVID-19. As such, the Milford Board of Education will hold this meeting electronically and in person. There is a limit to 50 people, including board members and district staff, in the high school auditorium. Social distancing is required for all those attending in person, and everyone must wear a face covering at all times. May I get a roll call, please?
Mr. Bassar Lopez.
Here.
Mr. Thompson.
Here.
Mr. Bezmar.
Here.
Mrs. Renata Wiley.
Here.
Mrs. Jean Wiley.
Here.
Mr. Miller.
Here. Everyone is in attendance tonight. At this time, I'm seeking a motion to adjourn to executive session to discuss personnel and student matters.
So moved.
A motion by Mr. David Bezmar.
I second.
Second by Mrs. Jean Wiley. Any questions on that motion? Hearing none, need a roll call, please.
Mr. Bassar Lopez.
Aye.
Mr. Thompson.
Aye.
Mr. Bezmar.
Aye.
Mrs. Renata Wiley.
Aye.
Mrs. Jean Wiley.
Aye.
Mr. Miller.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. At this time, we will be in executive session. We should be returning to open session at approximately 7 p.m. Thank you. All right. We have been in executive session for the last hour and change. I need a motion to return to open session.
So moved.
Motion by Chris Thompson. Seeking a second.
And I'll second.
Second by Mr. Dave Bezmar. Any questions on that motion? Hearing none, I need a roll call, please.
Mr. Bassar Lopez.
Aye.
Mr. Thompson.
Aye.
Mr. Bezmar.
Aye.
Mrs. Renata Wiley.
Aye.
Mrs. Jean Wiley.
Aye.
Mr. Miller.
Aye. The motion passes unanimously. Mrs. Kirsch, introduction for visitors, please.
Good evening, everyone. Introduction to visitors. I'm Sarah Croce. We have Dr. Jason Peel, Dr. Bridget Amory, Laura Mangus, Gary Zoll, Kate Marvel, John Lobiondo, Don Christie, Scott Whaley, Mike Sharp, Scott Fitzgerald. Online this evening, we have Amy Walls, Bobby Kilgore, Bryce Bayless, Brooke Schultz, Cynthia McKenzie, Debbie, Heather Motter, Jen Hallman, Jesse Parsley, Kristen Conway, Marley McMillan, Sue, Teresa Wallace, Trish Gerken.
Thank you. Dr. Dickerson, are there any changes to tonight's agenda?
No, there are no changes. I would like to welcome Marley McMillan, who will be our student representative here with the school board. So thank you, Marley.
A notice on here, excuse me, I do have a change to the agenda. Which I missed, which would be the Pledge of Allegiance.
Number six.
Mm-hmm. Everyone please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
The flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, I don't know how I got messed up there, but first item of business is approval of our meeting minutes from our December 21st, 2020 meeting. Is there any questions, comments, concerns, or mistakes in our meeting minutes that any board members noticed? Hearing none, I am looking for a motion to approve the regular meeting minutes for December 21st, 2020.
I'll make a motion, Renata Wiley.
I have a motion by Mrs. Renata Wiley.
I second Jean Wiley.
Second by Mrs. Jean Wiley. Any questions on that motion? Hearing none, I need a roll call, please.
I'm Mr. Bassar Lopez.
Aye.
I'm Mr. Thompson.
Aye.
Mr. Bezmar.
Aye.
Mrs. Renata Wiley.
Aye.
Mrs. Jean Wiley.
Aye.
Mr. Miller.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. There are no changes to the agenda. At this time, is there any Is there any individual that has signed up for public comment?
We do not have any individuals signed up in person. Online, I believe Mr. Whaley is going to display how to raise your hand on the actual WebEx meeting. And for call-in users, you can dial *3 to raise your hand. Again, that's if you're a call-in user, *3 will raise your hand and to be called on.
All right, we will take a moment, see if anyone raises their hand or uses the dial feature. All right, seeing none, Dr. Dickerson, superintendent's report.
Yes, I'm very proud of our senior, Dina Johnson, who was selected as one of 7 finalists in the state for the Martin Luther King Voice for Youth competition that occurred on Sunday, January 17th. So the MLK, Martin Luther King Voice for Youth, is a spoken word competition that provides a platform for high school students to speak up on issues important to them and creatively share how Dr. Martin Luther King's legacy guides their response to today's challenge. Dina's outstanding speech, "Have You Seen the Other Side?" was in response to Dr. King's speech, "I've Been to the Mountaintop." Dina has recently received early acceptance in the Goldie Beacom College, is currently taking college courses as a senior, and has completed both business and allied health career pathways at MHS. So quite an accomplished student here for us at Milford High School. So congratulations to Dina. She represented herself and MHS extremely well during the competition, and we are proud of her for her accomplishments. Also want to note Dr. Julius and recognize Dr. Julius Mullen, a 1989 Milford High School graduate, and his wife, Natasha Mullen, who co-authored Just Love Me. The book encourages readers to love all children, regardless of any demographic, characteristic, or life situation. The authors believe that love is the most simplistic yet powerful path toward helping children thrive in the world. Dr. Mullen is the Chief Clinical Officer for Children and Families First of Delaware Incorporated, and also a college instructor. And we've also been able to utilize him to help us across our district here as far as with Compassionate School and also with working with our students. So congratulations to Dr. Mullen and his wife on their recently released book. Also want to take time to recognize Ms. Jennifer Antonek, a Milford High School alum, and Ms. Jessica Rash, a Milford High School alum, and also she is a Milford Central Academy teacher. They published The Music Man, our rootin' tootin' hero, about longtime Milford High School volunteer, Milford Joe Lear, and a volunteer and a citizen throughout our community. And Ms. Antonek has been invited to speak to our students via virtual meeting, but a really nice a book when you have a chance to read that. And there's also been some good articles about Jennifer in the book and also her granddad and also the contributions of Ms. Rash as well. So congratulations to them. Congratulations to Josiah Moore, a Milford High School senior who won first in the Optimist Club of Sussex County essay contest and was awarded a $500 scholarship. He will now compete at the district level. So congratulations to Josiah. Also want to let Mr. Zoll come up, please. Also want to recognize the Milford School District team has raised over $5,600 for Special Olympics Delaware through the Polar Bear Plunge. So it will be a little bit different this year. We have 32 team members. They'll be plunging here. Mr. Stoll, you can come up, please, on Saturday, February 6th at 11 a.m. at Milford High School Briggs Stadium. And we have partnered with the Carlisle Fire Company, and we are bringing the plunge here, right here on the campus. So I'll let Mr. Zoll explain further details.
I think you said everything, Kevin. So Saturday morning, the plungers who have signed up will come here to our high school stadium parking lot, and the fire company has graciously given us access. Well, they're going to, of course, be there for the truck, and they're going to spray their hoses, and we're going to kind of walk through the water, bring the plunge to Milford, Delaware, since we can't go down to Rehoboth with everything being virtual here. So we're very excited, and I just wanted to give a shout out to all the teachers and people who are members and who have donated money to this great cause.
Thank you. Thanks for your leadership with the event too there, Mr. Zoll. Also want to recognize Mr. Tom Summers, Milford native, and also works with the Department of Archives, but in partnership with the Milford Museum, they created a film, The Other Side of the Tracks, and it's in regards to Dr. Reba Hollingsworth, a 94-year-old African-American woman who spent her early years in Milford. Very enlightening lady, Ms. Dr. Hollingsworth, and a great film if you have a chance to view it, but we also hope to share it with our staff and students in recognition of Black History Month of this February. So It was a really nice feature, and Mr. Summers is here from Milford, and to learn more about Dr. Hollingsworth through the project was really special as well. So really nice feature there. It was very well done. That'd be it, Mr. Miller.
Thank you. Our first order of business tonight is the temporary Area D board vacancy. Our last meeting, we went through the process of which we fill vacant board spots. And I'll turn it back over to you, Dr. Dickerson, for how that process went and how we'll be going this evening.
Okay, Mr. Fitzgerald, we'll ask you to come up to the front, please, to the microphone. This was a process here as far as applicants for the temporary vacancy of Area D. We did post this and advertise. Mr. Fitzgerald did apply for the temporary D as far as Area D vacancy. And at this point in time, Mr. Miller, like we've done in the past when we had the appointee process, you'll go ahead and ask the four questions that we have. Then you'll ask the questions, and Mr. Fitzgerald will also respond. In addition, just to let our public know as well, Mr. Fitzgerald also did submit a letter of interest, a resume, and also responses to the questions that that the board is asking tonight. Mr. Miller?
Thank you very much. Good evening.
Good evening.
Why would you like to be part of the Milford Board of Education?
I believe education is important to the health and well-being of the community. My family has been here for generations. I expect my children and grandchildren will probably be here for generations to come. And I would like the Milford community and district to thrive for the foreseeable future.
What background, experiences, and or qualifications would you add to the board, Milford Board of Education?
Well, as a business owner, I have had to deal with all types of employment issues over the years, as well as having to make difficult decisions that impact people's lives. I recently served as a member of the building committee at Crossroad Community Church, where we were tasked with designing and building a considerably large multi-million-dollar addition. I believe the experience I gained from that time could be useful to the board as a need for a new middle school draws near.
What do you believe a school board member's role should be within a district community?
I believe the school board is responsible for establishing the vision for the district, which would include setting goals, policies, and providing guidance, support, and oversight to the superintendent. I believe the member should be an advocate for the students and families, and they should strive to represent the community by being attentive to all voices and making decisions based on the best interests of the district.
The last question, what other relevant information would you like to communicate with the board to best support your candidacy for this temporary appointment?
I believe that I have a good reputation in the community and that my personality and characteristic traits would enable me to be a helpful addition to the board.
Thank you. Is there anything else that this is your time now? Is there anything else that you would like to say or address to the board?
Well, I would say I appreciate the dedication that you guys have offered. I'm sure the last year has not been a good time to be on the school board. You've been forced to make decisions that I'm sure, no matter what you made, there were a significant population would be unhappy about. So I can appreciate being in a tough spot like that. So I would thank you for what you've had to go through. And I appreciate the opportunity to be whatever help I can.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
And seeing that we only have one candidate for this vacant position, at this time, this is our opportunity as a board to make a decision on how to move forward with that vacant spot.
I'll make a motion to appoint Mr. Scott Fitzgerald to the open vacancy of Area D
for the remainder of this term.
So we have a motion by Mr. Chris Thompson to appoint to the area the vacant spot. We have a second for that motion.
I will second that motion.
One moment.
I just add one thing about the motion. It wouldn't be for the remainder of the term. It'd be until June. The temporary employment would be through June 30th, 2021.
That's correct.
And just the term is a five-year term that we have. This is the fourth year of that five-year term. And the remaining year of that term actually would go up to public election here in May.
Thank you, Dr. Dickerson. Can you please clarify that?
I'll motion to appoint to fill the vacancy of Area D, Mr. Scott Fitzgerald, from now until June 30th, 2021, when that position would go to public vote.
Thank you. Seeking a second?
I will second that.
Second by Mr. Dave Asmar. Are there any questions on that motion? Hearing no questions on that motion, need a roll call, please.
Mr. Baptista Lopez?
No.
Mr. Thompson?
Yes.
Mr. Besmar?
Yes.
Mrs. Renata Wiley?
Yes.
Mrs. Jean Wiley?
Yes.
Mr. Miller?
Yes. Motion passes. The next item of business on our agenda is Delaware School Board Association update. At this time, there have been no additional Delaware School Board meetings. Has there been any additional legislative meetings? No legislative meetings either. Next item of business is a review of modification of Board Policy 5415. That's the K-12 school dress code policy for 2020-2021 school year.
We just said we'd come back and review here in January. Just we're uncertain of the circumstances we're within. We just, at this point in time, like to continue this throughout the remainder of the year. At the remainder of the year, obviously, we'll be discussing whether we revert back to our regular dress code policy for next school year. Okay, depending on where we are as far as with the pandemic and as far as back entering back into school.
Are you aware if there have been any issues with this policy this year so far?
It has worked out pretty well. I think at the one place here, Mr. Zoll, if you want to have anything here, I think the middle level is the one that maybe we see we have more students and those type of things. But as far as where we are this year and the amount of time our students have been in school and those type of things, this has not interfered with school students being in school or interfere with their education at this point in time. But again, this is a modified, we think this is in the best interest of our families and students during this period of time. And obviously, at the end of the school year, we'll be back revisiting and coming back with our regular policy and discussing about that full implementation for next year, if appropriate.
Any other questions or comments from the board?
I think my question would be, because I know the last time we voted on this, we said we're going to bring it back down in January like we are. How long are we going to push this out? Will this go, we'll just assume it's going to stay like this from the end of the school year, and then we would revisit this in, what, maybe July? Or for the start of the 21-22 school year?
Well, this is an action item, so we did bring it that we need some type of motion to either continue it forward or to modify it at this point.
And at this point in time, this is only for this school year. So actually, we would have to go back and approve something for next year if we do not utilize our regular
dress. Okay, so as is now, this would be basically go away for the 21-22 school year, and we would revert back.
Correct.
Okay. So this is just at the end of the school year, and then we'll have discussions, if appropriate, here, prior to next school year.
Okay. If we do nothing from this point on, next year would pick up the regular policy.
Got it. All right.
So at this time, I'm seeking a motion from the board for the modification of Board Policy 5415, K-12 dress code, as it stands for the 2021 school year.
I'll make a motion that we accept this policy until the end of the 2020 to 2021 school year.
We have a motion by Mrs. Renata Wiley. Second.
I will second.
David. Second by Mr. Dave Besmar. Are there any questions on that motion? Hearing none, I need a roll call, please.
Mr. Balthazar Lopez.
Aye.
Mr. Thompson.
Aye.
Mr. Besmar.
Aye.
Mrs. Renata Wiley.
Aye.
Mrs. Jean Wiley.
Aye.
Mr. Miller.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. The 2021-2022 School Choice Acceptance Report that was discussed in executive session. We do need to approve or deny that report. Seeking a motion from the board.
I will make a motion that we accept. I'll make a motion that we accept the 2021-2022 School Choice Exception Report as given in executive session.
We have a motion by Mr. David Besmar. Seeking second.
I will second that, Renata Wiley.
Second by Mrs. Renata Wiley. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, I need a roll call, please.
Mr. Balthazar Lopez.
Aye.
Mr. Thompson.
Aye.
Mr. Besmar.
Aye.
Mrs. Renata Wiley.
Aye.
Mrs. Jean Wiley.
Aye.
Mr. Miller.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Draft revised board policy 1002, family involvement policy.
Dr. Amy, would you like to come up, please? Just in your packet, you had the revisions, and then plus you also had the final draft here that I know Dr. Amy would like to have voted on here for tonight.
Yes, are there any questions as it was presented to you at the previous meeting?
My question to you is that the old policy was pretty much completely stricken and has been revised, and this is because of state and federal statutes?
This is because this is now bringing us in alignment with ESSA, the Every Child, Every Student Succeeds Act, as opposed to No Child Left Behind, which was what was originally guiding the former policy.
Okay.
Yes, and that's also one of the reasons for the delay in us bringing this to the board, is that we've been waiting for guidance from our Department of Education in order to bring this forward. So this is in conjunction with guidance that we received from the Delaware Department of Education, and then we shared that out with a variety of community and family stakeholders.
Okay, thank you. I hope everyone could hear that. I'm having a hard time hearing people tonight with our mask. It's very muffled, but that could be an age factor for me. Since
Scott, can you turn up the front mics a little bit? Thank you.
I just want to make sure that our audience has also heard that and understands it. So, thank you.
Are there any additional questions on board policy 1002, family involvement? Hearing no questions, we are seeking a motion to approve or deny draft revised board policy 1002, family involvement.
I move to approve board policy 1002, family involvement, as presented by Dr. Amory.
We have a motion by Mr. Ron Balthazar Lopez.
I second.
Second by Mrs. Jean Wiley. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, I need a roll call, please.
Mr. Balthazar Lopez.
Aye.
Mr. Thompson.
Aye.
Mr. Besmar.
Aye.
Mrs. Renata Wiley.
Aye.
Mrs. Jean Wiley.
Aye.
Mr. Miller.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. The next three items on the agenda were introduced by the Vice President. I will turn the floor over to the Vice President.
Real, excuse me, just for a quick moment. I just want to thank you for that. And I do want to reassure the board to let you know that we will indeed work to translate the revised policy into Spanish and Creole for our families before we post on our district website.
Thank you very much, Dr. Amory.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So as you see and on your agenda that there are three policies that I am planning to or have introduced. The first one is the board member duties and ethics. I was looking through the policies, and the policy that we have currently, duties of board members 8205, which Dr. Dickerson gave us during executive session. There's only six bullets, and it was adopted in 1975. So it was a little outdated, and I took the leeway of kind of drafting this board policy to kind of assure us what our standards should be as board members, especially given the appointment process tonight. And so this is kind of a draft of bullets and statements that I think or should be our duties and ethics policy. Obviously, we all have to follow the state regulations, whether that's the State Board of Education or our own board policies. But if anybody else has any additional feedback or comments, I'm happily would receive that. I actually reached out to Mrs. Renata Wiley for feedback. So this was in conjunction with her. So I appreciate her efforts on this. So at this time, does anybody have any comments?
Yeah, we're on the conflict of interest.
The board duties and ethics. So hearing no comments on that one.
Hold on a minute. Was there any comments?
No, I'm just saying, because according to the agenda, we should be doing conflict of interest first.
Oh, apologies.
I don't know if that's
okay.
If that's a thing, or you know.
Apologies about that. So I'll go now to the conflict of interest board policy. So this one is also, it goes with one of the bullets that was in the previous ethics and duties that I have drafted. I feel like, again, given the appointment process and the turnover of board members in recent times, that we should be having a policy where it states, or specifically states, what a board member should be doing should there be a conflict of interest. Obviously, for all of us on the board, should have some kind of understanding of a conflict of interest, but I think it just should be in a policy written. So if anybody has any questions, again, I would be happy to work with you to edit them.
So I do have a question about this. I guess the first thing is, has our lawyer read through these yet, or we're not?
I'm sorry, Mr. Vesmer, I can't hear you.
I'm sorry. Has our lawyer read through these yet, or is this just like a first read and that would come later?
So it's a first read, and obviously Dr. Dickerson would seek legal counsel for that.
Okay.
I'm not sure if you have already, but.
And I say that because my concern with conflict of interest is that it could pretty much preclude me from any voting, because my wife works for the district and I have two sons in the district. And I think almost every vote we take could in some way say that I have a conflict of interest, because it's either for the teachers or for the students, because that's what we're here for. I don't think that's the intent of this, but I think we need to have language in this that outlines that. I did some research on this, and there are school districts around the country that say if you are a district employee cannot have a spouse that's on the board. There are districts that say that. I don't think we should say that. If the rest of the board thinks we should, then so be it. That's okay. And then there are others that say that it's okay as long as they like. There's certain things you wouldn't want to maybe vote on. But we need to make that very clear. We're a small district. We're a small town. You're always going to have conflict of interest in some way, just based on family members in the on the board. So we just need to be very careful how we write this language, and I would like it to be reviewed by the lawyer just to make sure that we just don't want, you know, two or three years down the road a vote happens and then you have public outcry because two people shouldn't have voted because of a conflict of interest. So I like the intent. The intent, I'm with you with the intent. I just think we need better language in it.
I appreciate that. I spoke to Mr. Miller about this too, because I understand where you're coming from. I think I drafted this with the intent of that we do a lot of bidding and contracts, that was kind of my main concern, that we were not voting on that. But that's actually a good point. Obviously, we don't have that power to exclude board members from being on the board only because they have a significant other or children on the in the district. I think that's more statewide. Obviously, I would defer to Dr. Dickerson to seek legal counsel for better wording if that's okay with you.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you.
So this is Dr. Star Lopez or the board. Would you like me to run this by our attorney?
Yes.
Understand the language.
Yes.
I did have a brief conversation that he mentioned there are laws about regulating the conduct of officers. He didn't like act, he didn't say that this was unnecessary or anything like that. He basically didn't weigh in on that, but he did say there is law out there on the conduct. But I'll have him review the language and give us any suggestions he may have. I think he was okay. When I told him the basis, and I had a conversation, that he was okay with what we, you know, presenting on the two proposals here tonight as far as a policy proposal. So I'll have him run it by a little bit more language-wise and just make sure, at least on his first one, I know we haven't talked about the second one, but the first one I'll send this to him tomorrow and get his feedback for February. Is that what you'd like for?
Yes, and then whatever feedback you get, can you send it to me and then, or me and Mr. Vesmer, and we can discuss it further in the behind team?
Sure, I will send it to you, yes.
Okay. And the other thing that other districts I've seen that I read when I was kind of researching through this, they say that if there is a conflict of interest, so for example, if there's a vote and both Mr. Thompson and myself have a conflict of interest and can't vote, the remaining board would be the majority. So if we can't vote, you would need three as opposed to four for majority. That's so the majority, the majority changes based on the people who have a conflict of interest. So again, that's something I don't know if that's something we would have to put in this, but it's just something to consider.
Yeah. I do know that in the past, if there has been a board member who had a spouse or someone who was being questioned about an employment or a position, a lot of times that board member would excuse themselves from the vote. So I know we've done that in the past because they felt that there was a conflict. So
that's happened also as well with vendors, some of our approvals at times people have stepped aside because they may know somebody as well. So you want me to check on that? I know you had some questions here about what this does for voting. You want me to check that out? You want me to have that conversation with our attorney in that regard too? Or
I mean, I think if we're going to have a policy, I think we should probably just do it right the first time. And if that does mean maybe doing a little bit more research and getting more input, you know, let's do it right the first time. I mean, I agree with the policy. I think it's good. We're just getting the language right.
I agree with everything Dave said. I mean, I have children in the district, so every decision I make could be a conflict of interest in somebody's eyes. Now, I believe, as I sit here, I make impartial decisions that are good for the entire district and all of the children, not just my two. But does it mean that somebody sitting in the general public says, no, that's a conflict of interest. You shouldn't vote on the dress code policy because it affects your two children. And if we put this in a policy, are we holding ourselves kind of, or are we putting ourselves out there to where you're opening up a complaint? If you looked into each and every one of us and each and every board policy that we voted on, we have some attachment to that, whether it be a grandchild or a brother or a sister or a son or a daughter or a boyfriend or girlfriend or husband or wife within this district. That's part of the reason we sit here is because we care about this district. We're invested in it. And so there are going to be those relationships, whether it's, you know, friendships, where I've coached in this district for 4 years. I've got kids that, you know, are almost 6 years. I got kids that are coming up now that are, you know, we got parents that are sitting in the audience quite a bit. So, I mean, you got to be very, very careful when you use the term conflict of interest as an opinion to a lot of people. And when you write a board policy based on somebody's opinion, I think it could get real messy for us in the future. I understand the intent and I appreciate the intent. I just, with that term, it's almost too general. If it was specific to awarding salary positions for financial contracts, I think it would be much easier and a lot less, bring a lot less scrutiny. Just my two cents.
So Dr. Dickerson would go ahead and seek legal counsel and then we can get that draft back. From my understanding and from what I already said, this was my intent for bidding and transportation contracts, but I understand where some board members, I mean, all of us have some kind of relationship to the district. That would be kind of ironic if I was just jeopardizing my voting power as well by introducing this board policy. If Dr. Dickerson would be more than kind to seek legal counsel on this, and then we can discuss this at the next board meeting.
Now, I'm sure to not, and I'll check with our attorney the language, but if we ever, if talking to him, if I thought it'd be beneficial for him to be available in February, I'll let you know that as well. So I'll talk to him about the base language here to see if what he thinks about this, and then I'll be back in contact with him.
Thank you. So the, any other comments on that one? So the last item is the district proclamation proclaiming the month-long celebration of Black History Month in February. From my understanding, from speaking to the board president, and I don't believe we've ever introduced a proclamation at the board level, but that doesn't mean that there isn't a first. And given the circumstances of Black History Month and how we've been affected by it, everybody's on this board has been affected by it on some type of level. We're in an educational setting where history is valued, and we try to do everything for the students. I thought that this would be a good recognition for students who are celebrating Black History Month. As you have read all of the bullet points concerning our district and how we can celebrate Black History Month, this by no means obligates anybody to celebrate it. It just says at the bottom that we strongly encourage our staff and community to observe, recognize, and celebrate the cultural heritage and contributions of Black Americans to our country, our state, our cities, and our schools. Other school districts in the state have done proclamations at the board level, so I thought this was a pretty neat idea to bring before the board. I did seek an opinion from a community member, from the African American community, just so that I could get the terminology right, because I myself am not an African American, so didn't want to jeopardize or misconstrue any language in this draft. And I also reached out to board member Jean Wiley, Mrs. Wiley, for feedback, which she was appreciative of. So I'm not sure if she has any comments on this, but I opened up to anybody who has any feedback on this.
I have a question, I guess, like, when you wrote the proclamation and a lot of the stats that are in here are for a single year, and then it basically ends on February 28th, 2021. It's stuck for just one calendar year. Was there a purpose behind that, or is it going to be?
No. So, I mean, I talked to Mr. Miller about this too, that if we're setting precedent, how often are we going to be renewing proclamations, and which I understood that part. I think the biggest part for this is every board member should take initiative on proclaiming or introducing any policies that they feel comfortable with, that they want the board to proclaim. I just felt like this was a good need proclamation for our students in our district. Obviously, once I'm no longer on the board, at some point, it'll be up to whoever's on the board to introduce these proclamations if they so wish. This is just my initiative. Nobody's obligated to reintroduce these, but I leave it up for everybody's discretion, if that makes sense.
For clarification, this is essentially educational and doesn't bind the board to nothing. Correct?
Absolutely not. So as you can see at the bottom, we don't hold anybody accountable for anything. It's just stats within our Milford School District community. All of these are all true facts that I did my research. And so if anybody sees a problem with that or has any concerns with that, I would urge them to read the history of some of the bullets that I drafted. But obviously, I'm more than welcome to work with anybody on the feedback.
I would certainly ask that administration review the stats that are specific to the district and make sure that those are the most accurate at the time.
Sure.
If we choose to make this proclamation.
Sure.
And the schools usually do do things for Black History Month anyway, if I remember correctly, for the month of February to recognize those who have did achievements or done achievements. But also, I did say, I'm like you, I think it was Chrissy brought it up, that they're looking at now wanting it to be in the curriculum, not just 1 month and then just drop it. There are people out there, there's audiences out there now, and the NAACP and others who are looking for that, they want the curriculum to involve the African-American history throughout the school year and not just for 1 month. It's like it's just dropped. But for the recognition for when we speak of different subjects, there are people that are involved or can be introduced that they did an achievement for this type of area that they're talking about in history, science, or whatever the case may be. So that's one of the things too. So I understand your intent, but I just want you to know that they're looking forward now that they want to see it in a curriculum.
I think this has no effect on how we run the curriculum, correct?
Right. It's just a proclamation.
I understand yeah, what he's trying to do. Yes, to recognize what we're trying to do as a board, and that we recognize the fact that this needs to happen. But I just needed to let you know what the position of others are too.
Thank you.
Mr. Baltazar Lopez, I commend you on drafting this proclamation. I think it's a really good thing to do, and I have no problems with attaching my name to it. So
thank you
for your effort and the recognition.
And so, I appreciate your research and you going and asking different ones for it.
Thank you.
And I also am looking forward to signing this.
So thank you.
So this is just, again, the first draft. As Mr. Miller pointed, I think it'd be wise if the district would want to look at the stats and see if there's any changes. Obviously, I got these from the Department of Education, but that's different from sometimes the numbers get changed every so often. So, and if Dr. Dickerson, you would like to seek legal counsel on this, I would appreciate that too, just in case there's no writing in here that may or not jeopardize the board in some way, which I don't think so, but obviously I'm not a legal counsel.
Okay, I'll have a we'll look at this. The stats are very close. The data is real close that you have there. So we'll just double check it for you. It may actually be accurate. There's a couple I know are accurate, and a couple I think we just need to go back and look, and we'll make sure the data is right for you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Being this would be our first proclamation as the school board. Mrs. Kirchy, is there money available to make this a nice, put this on the right paper with the right backing and have a very nice presentation so we would be able to present this at the next meeting?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Nice job.
Any additional comments, questions, concerns on that?
This will be the first from the board that I think that the district has received a proclamation for this too. So,
excellent.
Yeah. Especially from the board.
Mm-hmm. Next item of business,
Mr. Miller. One point of clarification. I know we're going to run policies by our legal counsel. Board member duties and ethics. I'm not sure if we discussed that or if that was all part of the other discussion we had, but that was the other policy that was.
I believe it got all merged together into a single conversation. Okay. Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe we want all three items presented, the two policies presented to legal counsel, and the third item, the proclamation, to be reviewed by administration.
We'll do that. And also, would you like me to have our counsel weigh in also with the previous policy you had, and just see how that. If it's necessary, if these other two policies exist.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure that we actually discussed the board member duties and ethics. We discussed the other one pretty much at length, but I don't think we actually talked about the duties and ethics. We talked about conflict of interest.
I mean,
I know Mr. Baltazar Lopez did introduce it, and I interrupted him. And so,
if anything, from what I understand, the only bullet that I think that we would need to have some kind of feedback on would be bullet point four, which is avoid being placed in a position of conflict of interest and using board title for personal or partisan gain, only because of the draft policy of the conflict of interest. The other ones are self-explanatory. demonstrate competence, you know, being inclusive, welcoming, and encourage active participation. But if the board, any board member has any feedback on any of the other board points, I'm more than happy to work with you. I also just wanted to include at the top that all statements and actions while the board is in session will become a part of the official record. I feel like once Mr. Miller or any board president hits the gavel, I think that's all, you know, free game, that it should be included in the official record. So. Any comments? I don't think there's any comments, Mr. Miller.
Is there, and I'm trying to reread it again just to make sure, but are we handcuffing ourselves with these are the only, if something else were to arise, could we add the final, like, and anything else deemed appropriate by the board president or the superintendent, something, if something were to come up that the board has to pick up as a responsibility in the near future, that, I mean, we didn't forecast the COVID response, so can we forecast whatever might be next and incorporate that into this policy? So it doesn't show that the board's operating outside of our code of ethics or our roles of responsibility. It's almost that like catch-all at the end.
So I would defer that to Mr. Miller, but we've had a pretty lengthy conversation a week ago about board policies. I think it would be wise if we reviewed our board policies every so often, just so that if there are any changes, because obviously the former duties policies was outdated. It was enacted in 1975. So we should be encouraging ourselves to kind of see where we have to update our board policies to reflect modern society. So I will defer that to Mr. Miller.
Yeah, Mr. Thompson, I understand what you're saying. Having read through it, I'm not sure where, in my opinion, and that's where we also should seek legal opinion, this is written in a way that is broad enough. This isn't fine strokes. It's broad enough that any new thing that pops up should fall somewhere in within one of the items. I agree with Mr. Vesmar that we do need to look at the potential putting ourselves in a bind as far as conflict of interest and make sure that's spelled out and clear. I personally will hold off any real comment until the attorney has an opportunity to review it. I think that will help us out greatly. Any additional comments, questions, concerns before we move forward? Hearing none. Mrs. Kircher?
Yes, sir. Good evening again. I have two items on the agenda for you tonight. The first is the monthly revenue and expenditure reports that we vote on each month. These are for the month ending December 2020. On the revenue side, you'll notice that we are still receiving our final transfers from the state of Delaware. They were delayed due to the unit count delay till November 13th. So we are still receiving some of those even as late as this month. And I do plan on updating the final budget for you for the month of February for vote, which will include the updates to those budgets there. From a local perspective, we are just about at 100% collections. I do anticipate that all of our major tax categories will be at 100% before June 30th. And there has not been any change in the federal side from what was approved this summer during our consolidated grant process. Are there any questions on the revenue side? You'll notice that on the local side, we are seeing some decline in revenue. Obviously, we haven't had athletic revenue coming in, nor have we had a lot of indirect costs. I will also tell you that our cafeteria program is down in revenue due to the COVID pandemic, and we will be looking at ways to support them going forward. They're doing a great job serving our community right now, but the meals served just don't even compare to when we are actually physically in our school buildings. On the expenditure side, we are spending slowly and thoughtfully through the year. We do have CARES funding that we have been working to use for some of our response items, PPE purchases and things like that, that have become a priority. You'll notice there are a couple of negative agenda items, one under the public relations and communications line, just for the expense of advertising certain legal advertisements such as the board vacancy, as well as our class size waiver and things like that. That will be adjusted in the final budget when it is presented in February as well. Are there any questions on the revenue and or expenditure reports for this evening?
I did notice Benjamin Banneker, as far as their expenditure, seems to outpace the other schools like a little bit, but it's statistically different. 86% to everybody else is in the 60s, or they're just barely 80.
I think that means they're spending less than the other schools.
Most of the spend I would attribute this year to the lack of substitute costs. We are seeing, less than average use of substitutes, which is typically charged to the building budget in a separate line. So you'll notice that we have not spent as much at the building level, because simply one of the reasons is a lack of substitute usage.
Okay. Thank you.
Also, I would say that because of the CARES funding, a lot of the supplies and materials that we needed this year for remote learning and things like that did come from those federal funds versus our local building dollars.
Very good. Any additional questions, comments, concerns? This is an action item. I am seeking a motion to approve or deny the revenue and expenditure report as of December 31st, 2020.
So moved.
David Besmore. Second.
I'll second it. Okay. Yeah, two Wileys who are seconding it.
Any questions on the motion? Actually, no. There is. My motion was approved or denied.
Or denied.
So I do need an actual motion. Sorry.
Let me pull my glasses on. I make a motion to approve the revenue and expenditure reports as of December 31st, 2020.
Thank you for the clarification. Second by.
I'll be glad to second that.
Second by Mrs. Renata Wiley. Any questions on that note? Glad I caught that. Hearing none, I need a roll call, please.
Mr. Baltasar Lopez.
Aye.
Mr. Thompson.
Aye.
Mr. Besmore.
Aye.
Mrs. Renata Wiley.
Aye.
Mrs. Dean Wiley.
Aye.
Mr. Miller.
Aye. Motion passed unanimously. DEOE financial position report.
Yes, so this is one of the reports that we present several times throughout the year. It creates basically a cash flow statement of both a mixture of state and local funds to let the department know that we are still in a good cash position to make sure that we can meet our payroll expenditures. You'll notice that our projected 1 month of local payroll is about $800,000 per month, and it does take you through March, and then through the end of January, and then again through the end of the fiscal year as a projection. So the mixture of state and local funds, we are anticipating to have a carryover balance at the end of the year sufficient enough to meet our local payroll obligations. Are there any questions on this report?
Hearing no questions, I am seeking a motion to approve the DDOE financial position report for quarter three. So moved. Mr. Thompson, speaking a second.
Second.
Second. For Mrs. Jean Wiley, any questions on that motion? Hearing none, I need a roll call, please.
Mr. Bastar Lopez.
Aye.
Mr. Thompson.
Aye.
Mr. Besmore.
Aye.
Mrs. Renata Wiley.
Aye.
Mrs. Jean Wiley.
Aye.
Mr. Miller.
Aye. Motion approved unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next on our agenda, instruction and student programs, Dr. Bridget Amory and Dr. Kate Marvel.
Good evening. Thank you again for the opportunity. We have a handful of updates, and we will try to be as efficient as possible, but we did feel as though these updates were important enough to share with you this evening in public forum. So we're actually going to start with Dr. Marvel sharing some updates on hybrid and concurrent instruction.
Good evening, and thank you. I'm going to start with teaching and learning updates. As you can see, our hybrid, we have successfully resumed as of January 11th. Has been great to have our kids back. And our marking period ends, marking period two ends on Friday. We will transition to marking period three next Monday. The goal with hybrid is to continue to increase our amount of instructional time and access between our students and our teachers. Concurrent teaching, we will start that district-wide on Monday. So as a review, that is a combination of our in-person and remote learning happening at the same time. The high school has worked well with this since November. The elementaries and MCA have started phasing students in throughout December. And as of February 1st, everyone district-wide will be doing concurrent learning. Professional learning has been given to all of our teachers, and we will continue to provide that as needed. We did want to show you some of our ideas for summer programming this year. The first three bullets you can see are our typical summer programming. So we have our 12-month for our ESY, the students that qualify for that. Credit recovery for the high school, which we have each summer. And then our Voyagers for ESY opportunities for our younger kids. So you can see the fourth bullet there is the same as the Voyagers, but it's an online option for our families that are more comfortable with remote. And then we have also had our beginner Buccaneers for our kindergarten readiness in previous years. The new addition, which we're very excited about, is our Voyager camps. And these will offer opportunities for any of our students, so not just ones that we feel are regressing or have makeup to do, but these are opportunities for any of our kids to stay active academically with a focus on English and math. So there's ideas all throughout. It'll be offered to our teachers to really bring their ideas to us. So for example, if a teacher wanted to do a week-long coding camp, we could offer that to our students. It would have to have a math, obviously, it would have some math in it and ELA, but based on popularity or how much, we could offer it several times throughout the year. This would be an idea, basically, where parents wouldn't have to commit to a full summer. They could week by week say, I would like to have my kid involved with this. So the hope was to really just have opportunities for all of our kids to really be involved with academics, really progress throughout the summer and be ready for next year. And then we have OLA, which is helping others with language acquisition, which would really be our immersion, our currently enrolled immersion students. So this could be opportunities for any of our first through fifth grade students, but really integrating a lot of our district. So if we had opportunities for them to really dig down with the language, so it could be our AP Spanish students from the high school having conversations with our kids. It could be our teacher academy students at the high school integrating some of their teaching abilities. Just really having opportunities for our kids to be in an immersive environment. So I'll obviously let Dr. Amory speak to this as well, but we just think it's really good to have more opportunities this summer as we hopefully progress into a more normal year next year.
Thank you, Dr. Marvel. Yes, this evening, we just wanted to share with you that we are looking to offer some robust learning opportunities that have been a little bit more untraditional in Milford School District. In working with, collaborating with Laura Mangus, with her program that she has been offering, this would be an opportunity for us to use not only our opportunity funds, but also some of our Title I funds and offer some alternative options than what we have previously done. So we anticipate being able to share that with our staff and then starting that planning process to begin communicating with families very soon. Next on our update is that we are continuing, despite the pandemic, to move forward with the elementary math pilot. We have been engaged in a pilot process throughout this school year as we look to ultimately replace our K through 5 math program, which is no longer available to us after this academic year. So we have been piloting two different programs. One is Bridges and the other is Envisions Math. And we anticipate bringing a recommendation to the board at the February meeting based on the conclusion of the feedback that we will be receiving from staff. We will be engaging all of our elementary staff in their recommended proposal for us to bring forward next month. So Renee Worley, our district math specialist, has been a phenomenal leader in this work, and quite frankly, we could not have done that without her. So we're very grateful for that work. The next slide speaks to the film that Dr. Dickerson spoke of. We just want to make sure that you are aware of the work that Tom Summers has worked to provide our Milford community. It is an incredible story that he is able to share, and we'll make sure that it is shared not only through our social media, but also through all of our staff, so that they have the opportunity to engage. Children of all ages will have the opportunity to learn a little bit about their Milford community. So we're just really grateful for this work and excited about the potential discussions and opportunities our children will have with this. And next, I believe we have a slide that's going to be speaking about
Dr. Emery, is that film something that we have access to viewing?
We absolutely can share that with you, yes.
Thank you.
Yes. The next slide speaks to the book that Dr. Dickerson spoke of that one of our Milford alum has recently published. Now, that being said, this information was provided to us before we had the book that Dr. Mullins also published as well. So this book in particular is a connection to the Milford Community Band, and we are working with the author to provide an opportunity to engage with our classrooms so that the children will have the chance to connect with the author and talk about the publishing process, as well as the connection to the Milford Band as well. We are continuing to move forward with Odyssey of the Mind this year. We do have the option to participate both in person and remotely. So we are working with our elementary and secondary coordinators to continue to offer some opportunities to students who are interested in participating. It is definitely going to be a unique year for Odyssey of the Mind. However, we do want to make sure that we continue that program to the best of our ability, given our circumstances. So we are going to try to proceed, even if it's a year where we spend some time learning about the spontaneous activities that children can participate in as they build up in anticipation of participation potentially in the future. And I believe this is one of the last items I have for you. We recently agreed to a partnership with the Freeman Foundation, which is now called the Freeman Arts Pavilion. They originally started a partnership with a local artist to provide creative nourishment packets. And this was art activities that they provided students when they were distributing meals to families early on in the pandemic. They were trying to make sure that they offered art activities and resources that children could then continue to explore and create while they were in a home environment. And we've been successful in securing 4,300 creative nourishment packets that will be delivered to our schools on Friday of this week. And we will be distributing them out to our families. And as a result of that, we will also begin our first ever virtual art gallery that we will then be able to celebrate and share the children's artwork as it is finished and shared with us. And last but not least, this was something that was discussed at the last board meeting. We had a community grant that was given to us through HRTRC, and they have agreed to partner with us on moving forward with educational passages, which is where we will officially have a Buccaneer boat. It's in the beginning stages of the planning. We have gone ahead with a purchase order. Due to supply and demand, we don't anticipate our Buccaneer boat being available to us until the fall. So we are talking about a potential fall launch. But Alex March, who is a teacher at Milford Central Academy, and with the leadership of Gary Zoll, we are working on putting together a program where the children will K-12 have the opportunity to engage with this project, as well as help design a website that will be part of their program to be able to track the boat as we, once we get it launched out, and the children will be able to track and see the path that it follows as it follows the currents and the tides through the Atlantic Basin. Cool. I thought I was done, sorry. One more. So we have also had a partnership with Abbott's Mill. I told you there was a lot of good stuff going on. For years, we've had a partnership with Abbott's Mill where we have offered field experiences for children in kindergarten through fifth grade to help enrich and extend the next generation science standards. In a way, it has been a way for us to supplement some of our science kits at the elementary level. With the pandemic, we were unable to continue that work last spring, which is where a lot of those field trip experiences happen. We have been working with Abbott's to make adjustments to those field experiences, and we are now scheduling our first sessions to be done remotely, but we will begin those sessions K-5 again starting in February. And we've been very grateful that Abbott's has been willing to work with us to adjust and try to accommodate to the remote environment. So we're very excited to be able to see that continue. We know it's not going to be nearly as exciting to dissect a fish remotely as it is in person, but we are still very grateful for that and are excited to be able to continue that work.
So do I understand this is the first virtual field trip you're bringing to us?
I wouldn't say it's the first one, but it's the first one with Abbott's. Yes. And I believe that's it. Any questions?
No, good job.
No, thank you for these updates. These are really good updates. I'm happy to see a lot of the community involvements coming through in some of these. So that's really great to see.
You're welcome. I will make sure that you have access to the video that we mentioned. And then also when we start to move forward with some of the community events, we'll be sure to inform you so that you can participate as well. And we'll let you know when that art gallery is up and running. We're actually really excited to be able to get that going.
It's going to be cool.
That's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you both of you.
Thank you.
Ms. Laura Mangan.
This evening, I just wanted to take a moment to acknowledge our school nurses and all of our school counselors, our family interventionists. We've been spending a lot of time over the past few weeks as we return from the holidays, ensuring that we had all of our safety protocols in place. We've been doing some hiring. Our teams have been out in the community and ensuring that everyone is remaining safe and healthy. And I don't want to forget all of the additional work that they're doing in this time. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. As always, excellent work. Appreciate it. Mr. Sharp, welcome.
Thank you. I'm Mr. Sharp, the supervisor of Building and Grounds. Talk about school walkthroughs. We started those, me and Ms. Croce with the buildings. I had a little hiccup, and a week and a half in, I ended up supporting the Delaware Army National Guard for 8 days. So we were finishing this up this week, but what I've got to see is the custodian staff has done a great job. Our buildings look great, and I look forward to working with everybody, and I thank you for this opportunity.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Mr. Lobiondo.
Long walk.
Sorry for the delay. I just wanted to check the weather. It has started to snow, so we're going to throw that in the mix for transportation.
happy
can we,
kids.
Can we just call it tonight? Just call it.
We'll see how it goes. They've been calling for rain all day, and it started off snowing. So I guess we'll find out tomorrow.
4 a.m.
By 4 o'clock in the morning to see exactly what we're going to get.
Better get a quick nap.
I just want to take a minute to say thank you to all of our bus contractors. We have 8 primary bus contractors. We have another one that is primarily sports and field trips. They've done a fantastic job so far this year. We have 60 of the 61 buses assigned to Milford School District up and running on the road. That is by far the best district that I've heard of so far, talking to some of my counterparts in other districts. Some districts are as short as 15 and 20 buses. So we're doing really, really well. I've been checking up on them with their cleaning procedures and those kinds of things. That's going really well. And we couldn't be more blessed, I think, with the group of contractors that we have. We have 61 buses usually. Our buses drive about 3,500 miles a day. The district, I don't know if you know this, is about 160 square miles. So they spend a lot of time in those vehicles. And I don't want to jinx us, but we've had a very safe transportation record so far this year, and we're looking forward to continuing that. So I just wanted to take a minute to thank them. They put a lot of time and effort into finding good drivers and keeping good drivers, and we're always looking for places where we can continue to learn and grow. So if you have any ideas or thoughts that you want to throw by us as far as transportation goes, doors always open, and thank you very much. Any questions?
I don't see any questions, but please share the board's appreciation for what they're doing for our community as well.
I certainly yes. will.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Dr. Peel.
Okay, good evening. At this time, I ask for your approval of the personnel report as presented during the executive session.
All right, we are seeking a motion for approval of the personnel report that is presented in executive session.
I said it once. I said it.
Sorry, who was?
Is he making a motion? Is that
no, we were waiting for you to.
I couldn't hear. Let's read. Gene Wiley approves the, are asking for approval for our personnel report.
We have a motion by Mrs. Gene Wiley to approve the personnel report. Seeking a second.
I will second that, David Besmar.
Second by Mr. Second Dave Besmar. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, I need a roll call.
Mr. Mastrolopo.
Aye.
Mr. Thompson.
Aye.
Mr. Besmar.
Aye.
Mrs. Renata Wiley.
Aye.
Mrs. G. Wiley.
Aye.
Mr. Miller.
Aye. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Dr. Beal.
Mr. Chair. Can I be recognized for a second?
Absolutely.
So I just wanted to ask if the board would take a moment of silence for the passing of former board member, Mr. Ruff.
That's an excellent idea.
So if we could just take a moment of silence for that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. At this time, I'm seeking a motion.
1 second. Oh, just there. I got quick comments. One, I want to thank Mr. Zoll again for his great efforts with the Special Olympics. I know he had a great or a large team last year going out to Rehoboth. I got to see him a little bit in action. Hopefully the fire company will warm the water up for you a little bit this year. But I want to thank you again. I was just doing a little bit of quick research, and obviously the pandemic's affected Special Olympics funding and operations. But I'm glad that they found a workaround, and we have a large contingent and a large fundraising effort again, over $5,000, I think, for the second year in a row, at least, if not the third. So congratulations and thank you. And the second thing, we sped right through our agenda so quickly, we forgot to congratulate and welcome Mr. Fitzgerald to join us in the near future.
We did. And for a little bit of administrative work, he will come into the administrative office for be sworn in. Is that correct?
Yes, we'll have to determine how we best do this. So yes, we'll have to be sworn in, and we'll be in touch by midweek as far as a date and time and location for that event.
We look forward to seeing you in the next meeting. At that time,
I just wanted to take a moment here too.
Ms. I have Edna, something, but I'm going to hold on
So Ms. Edna Rust here also was executive secretary for many years, and last actually November ended up being her last month with us during our meetings, and she's been like family with us. We had an early meeting in December, been really part of the board for many years in our district as far as for many years, and I think it'd be great to have her back at some point in time here in the near future, and just to give her the official recognition here that she deserves, and did an awesome job here for our district in a number of capacities, and most recently here as the executive secretary here with us at the district office and our team, and then also that role was very prominent here with the Board of Education as well. So we hope she's in our thoughts and prayers at this point in time, her and her family. Mr. Russ was an electrician here for more than 30 years. I'm employed and also served a term as Mr. Baltasar Lopez also noted, as far as with the board, had a 5-year term. So thoughts are with their family, but would like to have Ms. Russ, at her convenience, back at a board member back at a board meeting to recognize her here in the near future.
That might be a good time to create our second proclamation. It'd be nice, I think, to be able to give her a proclamation on, you know, in a nice folder, just like you see coming out of like the state Congress. You know, if we're, you know, why not? I think she's maybe earned that to have that up on her mantle.
Agreed.
And she's typed up many awards for many students and staff and all of us over the.
Maybe she could type up the proclamation.
Is there anyone else? Hearing no one else at this time, I'm seeking a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Motion by Mrs. Jean Wiley. Second.
No.
No, Mr. Balthazar.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mm-mm. I'm sorry we found out.
Mr. Balthazar, what was that?
You seem to have a feminine voice.
I'll second it.
Second by Mrs. Renata Wiley. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, need a roll call, please.
Mr. Bachelor Lopez.
Aye.
Mr. Thompson.
Aye.
Mr. Besmar.
Aye.
Mrs. Renata Wiley.
Aye.
Mrs. Jean Wiley.
Aye.
Mr. Miller.
Aye.